It's time now for Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau, brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services.
Good morning, everybody. Can you believe it's already the middle of November, going towards the end, and Thanksgiving is almost here. So I know many of you are already preparing for that. I'm thinking about what I'm making. I'm cooking, and I love making all the traditional stuff that we always have, but every year I always try something new. So my mom doesn't know it yet, but I have a new pumpkin pie recipe that I'm going to try because it's gluten-free, and I'm trying that now for my health and getting good things. And wait till she tastes this, because I have to tell you, it is yummy. I tried it this week for me and my husband, and I said, I'm making this for Thanksgiving. So everybody, I have a wonderful guest for us this morning. We're going to be talking about something different, but it's perfect for the holidays because we're going to be talking about energy and energy in your home as well. And you know how we all are doing different things at our houses for the holidays and decorating, and you know, everything sort of shifts things. And also the holiday season, we have a lot of people coming into our home, a lot of gatherings and parties, and that all brings different energy into our space and into our home. So I think you're all going to really enjoy this morning. So Mary Lee McRoberts is going to be joining us. She's an intuitive and psychic medium and an energy medicine practitioner. And as I said, she specializes in clearing and harmonizing the energy of homes, businesses, lands, and people. She's actually a ghostbuster as well as a guide to those of us who wish to create surroundings that support our highest potential. So as the owner and CEO of several successful international companies spanning a 25-year period, Mary Lee came to realize that what drove her incredible success was her sixth sense. And as an intuitive, she's able to see, sense, and feel the energy of other people and places. And this compelled her to search for greater understanding of these abilities and how this knowledge could help others. Mary Lee is able to read the energy fields of those who are living and communicate with our loved ones who have crossed. She uses those same abilities to clear negative energies from our homes, businesses, and land. So she's going to tell us all about that. So welcome this morning, Mary Lee.
Well, good morning, Jackie, and good morning, listeners. What a beautiful introduction. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was thinking about you yesterday when I was watching football, because I know you are a new Seattle Seahawks fan.
I know. I was listening to your news ahead of time when I was waiting to come on, and your sports report, and I was waiting to hear about the Seahawks, but I didn't. They didn't mention the Seahawks.
I know. I was waiting for that, too, but I know that they won because I saw the little clip with Pete Carroll, the coach, in the locker room,
yeah.
And I could tell it was a good scene, and I know you just got involved in this because that young quarterback is such a great kid.
He's just an amazing young man. I've never been interested in sports, and he volunteers at the Children's Hospital and does all these wonderful things. He's only 23 years old, and I was just thinking, my goodness, if I would have had that focus at 23, it's wonderful. It really is.
Yeah, really, and it's always great to hear all these good things about people in sports, because
yeah,
they do a lot of good, and sometimes, you know, we don't hear that side of it often enough.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, we've got lots of wonderful things coming out of Seattle, so go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks.
That's what we say.
So, Mary Lee, you've been doing this stuff with energy for a long time ago. So tell us how it got started many years ago.
Oh, my goodness. I'll give you the really short version of this. I laugh at myself now. When I was in business, I was successful, and I thought, you know, as you mentioned, I had this great business acumen. I was so smart, you know. And I would literally walk into meetings. Whatever I did, I was guided to. I could actually like read minds of people that I was meeting with, and I just knew all these things that I thought everybody had that same access to information.
Boy, that's a handy skill for
a
business meeting.
Yeah, it was. And I knew who in a room, in a meeting, where to go. When I could walk down the street and look at businesses and know if they were going to be there in a month or not, and kind of how much money they made. And I just thought, aren't I smart? Well, it wasn't that at all, you know. I came to realize over a period of time, more information started to come in to me. I started having experiences, and I started to realize that this is that I'm having some abilities coming in, or information knowledge that isn't just sort of built in with everybody, you know. And at that time, I started to explore. I started to get books to read, and I started to take some classes. I joined a Native American lodge, you know. So here I was, this business person, you know, traveling around the country during the week and on the weekend, sort of sneaking out to the, you know, to learn about the land and nature and all those things. So that was sort of the beginning of how it all started to blossom. But the actual owning of it is a little bit of a different story. So
right, because then you had to say, okay, this is real. This is something I have. Well, what am I going to do with it?
You're absolutely right, Jackie. And I was that kind of person where it doesn't exist unless I was the real skeptic. If I can't touch it and see it, it doesn't exist, right?
Yep.
So I was a really good person actually to have this happen to, because I had to really, really know and understand that this was really real. And what happened to me, I started, as this grew for me, I eventually left the business world and started producing events. I realized, and I think there was a book that was significant for me. It was written by a pediatrician, and it was about children, all the children that he worked on over a period of like 30 years of his practice. He had lots of occasions where they would have near-death experiences, where they'd be in a bad accident or something would happen, and they would come back, and these little kids would all tell him the same story. And when I read that, I was like, well, they couldn't make that up, you know? They couldn't have read that. They wouldn't. And that sort of helped me really start to go down that path of believing.
Yeah, was that one of Brian Weiss's books?
It actually wasn't, and I can't remember, you know, okay. I should know the name of the person. I'll get that for you. He was literally here. He was in Renton, outside of Seattle. I don't even remember.
Oh, that's even nicer that it was local. So, but I know,
yeah.
I hear what you're saying, because when you have a book with all these kids' stories,
right.
Certainly kids are not reading things.
No, and nobody would be telling them that.
Right, they're not doing research. They're not doing mm-hmm. stuff. They're just putting this stuff out because that's what they're seeing, and that's what's mm-hmm. real for them.
Yeah, so then I started to think, maybe there is something to all this. And so I started producing, and then as I grew to understand it more and to have my own experiences and realize this really is this whole other dimension that's a part of us all that so many people don't realize, you know, or just don't tap into. And I eventually started producing large events and bringing healers in, or teachers from around the country, people who had written books and well-known people, so that world of energy could open up to people. But I still, so everybody would be saying to me, Mary Lee, why aren't you doing this? We want you to do that. And I would say, no, I don't do that. But I
everybody
else. I
facilitate it.
Yeah, so then at that point, so I'll get to the end of this story for you. At that point, I met someone who owned a large complex of retirement communities, full care living communities all over the country. So it was a very large corporation, and he had like villages of buildings all over the country where people would retire and then eventually go into Parkinson's or folk care or whatever their situation was. And so I would send people to work on these properties, because as a business person, he was interested in what would keep his facilities full, how they would be profitable. And because I was a business person, I understood how that all worked, you know. And eventually, and he always encouraged me to come and do that work myself, and I just didn't do it. And one day I did, and I drove to another city and walked in, and I spent the day walking from building to building and doing this work that I had learned how to do. And in the middle of the night, I went to bed that night in my hotel room. In the middle of the night, I woke up and I just started drawing this drawing of all these buildings and what needed to happen for them energetically, this little village that he had. to work so that all the energy would work throughout the buildings and everybody would be happy and, you know, all that profit that he wanted would happen. And so, and I got all this information, so I'm writing, and then I go back to sleep. And at the end of the next day, I go in to see him before I leave, and he said, so tell me what it all is, you know, what do I do here? So I just said, you might think I'm crazy, but here, and I just handed him my notepad with the drawings, and his eyes just got really big, and he got really quiet, and he got up and walked over and got a roll of papers, and he rolled them out. They were architectural plans that he had paid $50,000 for 6 months before. They were identical to what I'd drawn.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, I could have saved you a lot of money.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. He's probably thinking, oh, my gosh, she has the same drawings on her little notepad.
Oh, I know. And he was just, oh, my goodness. And I said, that's what you're supposed to do. And, of course, those were a lot more detailed than mine, but... So that's when I was, as I drove home, I said, okay, I'll do this. So that's how I finally.
Yeah, well, that was a real testament for you too, Mary Lee,
yeah.
To say, okay, I just came up with this out of the blue. Somebody is giving me information.
Right.
I'm seeing this
right.
energy for a reason.
I know. And I would have thought I was crazy, you know,
yeah.
10 years before that. So,
yeah.
And I know I'm not. So that's good.
Well, you know, it's funny because people don't think about things like, but there's energy that emanates from everything.
Yes.
And, you know, absolutely. And we always sort of put that aside, but, you know, we believe in gravity. We know there's gravity that exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we know there's radio waves or people wouldn't be hearing us on the air this morning.
That's right.
And those
That's
are
right.
things that we can't see.
Uh-huh. And we take that for granted. You know,
right.
Jackie, it's like because somebody teaches us, we learn in school that this exists. We don't know. I mean, honestly, that electricity exists until we turn a light on and we see it work. But we trust it because
right.
of that.
Right.
So this whole world of energy exists around all of us. And it's in us, it's around us, and it's in every object. And what's interesting about this is people take the time to go see the doctor when there's something wrong with them. You know, they take the time to take care of themselves, and they don't think so much about their homes and the dwelling and their offices, the dwellings that they're living in. They don't really understand, I think, for the most part, that there is an energy that exists from the emotion of the people who live in the homes.
Right, that could be affecting them and their
health. Absolutely does. So it's when I first talk to people about energy and what it is. So what you just said earlier is really good about you know, what we don't see, the unseen. So how I explain it to people is I'll say, have you ever, you know, gone to have a meeting with somebody, you open the door to walk into the room, they're waiting for you, two or three people, and they're all smiling, and you just know it, you just get this thing in your gut, and you know that they've just had some kind of a disagreement. You know it, but they're smiling at you. So you walk in, and you're like, okay, how am I going to handle this? And most people will say, well, I have had that experience, but I just knew that something had happened. I'll say, well, were they frowning? No. What was it that showed you that? Well, I don't know. I could just feel it in my gut.
Right.
And so then I explain, well, that's their energy fields that move out from their bodies, and your body's feeling that energy field. That's why you feel it in your gut, not in your fingertips or your knees or in your brain. It's literally in your gut.
Right. It's sort of that energy center there, your solar mm-hmm. plexus and things like that
yep.
that are just like getting hit with that.
And it gives you that message. So then I take them sort of to the next step, which is everybody makes Easter eggs at some point in their life, most people do, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you get the little tablet and you drop it into the vinegar, and then you see the color just move out of that clear vinegar from the color of the tablet. And energy looks, so I see energy, and energy looks like that as it emanates out, and it looks like that when it's in its form, in dwellings or wherever it is. And when people have strong energy, like an example would be if there's a couple who every night she's doing the dishes after dinner and she's upset because she's always doing the dishes.
Right. She's stuck doing the dishes.
And so so they always get into, you know, a little bit of fight in the kitchen after dinner, you know. So if that happens over a period of time, over a period of years, they sell that house, you know, and they leave. Well, that energy doesn't go away. It literally sits there, and that's in that kitchen. So the next people buy the house, they're all happy, and they move in, and then they find themselves being unhappy, having disagreements in the kitchen, they'd understand why. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but it's really true. And they're literally in that energy of that
That friction, that anger and that friction. And, you know, we talked about that similarly, Mary Lee, with another guest who was here, Francie Milano. We were talking about Gettysburg. We were celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. And we were talking to people about how it's not all spirit in Gettysburg. It's trapped energy from such traumatic occurrences in the battlefields.
Absolutely. And people can feel things like that. An example of that would be when you go to a sporting event and they play the Star Spangled Banner at the beginning. You get this emotion in your heart, you know, this rush of emotion. Most people do. And it's literally, and you think it's maybe in your mind, well, it's because I'm hearing that song, but literally it's the energy of all those people together having this emotion that comes up for different reasons for different people when they hear one of the patriotic songs of our country. It's that's energy, emotions coming from all those people. So imagine, you know, a place where war had happened and how that energy stays there. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about the Star Spangled Banner. The other thing I was thinking is, you know, that's that home field advantage at sports.
I know, we have that in Seattle.
You have that. They call it the 12th man,
but 12th
it is.
Man. I know.
Because you have that home crowd that's there and they're cheering and they're sending all that positive energy
absolutely
to their team. And it is. It's the home field advantage.
It is, and it impacts the other teams, too.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
I know. That's really good. So you're right up on this, aren't you?
Yeah. In fact, I had a laugh because there was something in the paper the other week, because we're a Philadelphia Eagles fans, and they have the fan base there. I mean, you know, you got to love them. I mean, they're so passionate, but sometimes, you know, they're not passionate in the right way. Sometimes they're very negative. And even this reporter was making the observation that maybe they should try being more positive.
And that's absolutely true, you know.
Right, because they could be the 12th man for their team. They were talking about how the Eagles have had such a problem winning at home. Well, you know, I'm thinking, wake up, Philadelphia.
Well, you know, and I think here in Seattle, I don't know the history, you know, because I'm new with football or sports.
Uh-huh.
So, but I think everybody, from what I can tell, everybody's just so excited to have somebody good here, you know, that we're just so pleased and happy. So I think we're all doing it the right way here. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's funny how, you know, those are things that we all experience and we all know and we all talk about, but we don't think of it as energy.
Right. We don't put that perspective to it because we're not, you know, we're not taught that way. When we go to school, we're just not taught about that other dimension, that sixth sense that we all have. And I think more now, as time goes on, it's becoming more accepted, more understandable. I don't, you know, when I'm talking to people about it, I don't always have to start right at the beginning, you know, which is,
right.
I mean, when I think back on how people had to talk to me, I was the skeptic of all the time, you know, so
right,
I think maybe that's why all this happened to me, because I was so skeptical.
Well, I think that's true. I think that does. It turns people around. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Mary Lee, we're going to pause for a little bit. We have a little break and then we'll be right back.
Okay. We'll talk about Christmas maybe, huh?
Wonderful.
Okay.
Heart to Heart being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. We'll be back with more after this.
The holiday season.
It's time now for more of Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, we're back, and my guest today is Mary Lee McRoberts, and we're talking about energy and all kinds of things with energy. And Mary Lee, we were going to talk a little bit about Christmas, but I said you had one thing you were getting sort of guided to talk about today, right?
Well, the guided to talk about was the clutter. That's what I came
to
tell you ahead of time. You bet. Okay, so with Christmas, it's the same thing. So let me kind of go back a little bit. So when I mentioned a moment ago that every single thing has the energy of everybody, so one of the things that happens to all of us is that we are given gifts by family members and people who we love, and we don't like what they gave us. You know, it's something that, or we don't really like the person, you know, who gave us the gift. So when you have that vase that's sitting there, and it's from Aunt Sarah, and Aunt Sarah never treated you well, and you really don't like her. And every time you look at that vase, even though it's beautiful, the energy and emotion of your feeling about Aunt Sarah comes up. So those things have to go, and we always feel responsible to leave them out. So at Christmas time, we have all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, we pull those things out we think we want people to see.
Exactly, but we don't feel good. So what they do is they energy. Christmas is this high emotional time for everybody. It brings up everything that's happy and everything that's sad, you know? We see all the chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Most people don't have that utopia that's represented in all the songs and all the Christmas programs as much as we'd like that. You know, people without family feel worse,
right.
People with in-laws they don't like, you know, that whole thing. There's a lot of drama, a lot of pressure around money. So it's really important to work to keep your house as clear as you can energetically at Christmas time, which means don't fill it up with all kinds of clutter everywhere. You know, don't bring out every single decoration that you ever had. And take away things that you already have there before you bring out the decorations. So, like, I have a beautiful dining room table that's got a beautiful runner down it that's Native American, gorgeous. It's there all the time. So I take the runner off, and I put out just Christmas on there. I move away other things and don't add to what I have.
That's a good point, you know, because we don't do that, Mary Lee. You know, we just add to what's
that's
already
right.
there.
Mm-hmm. And then you feel overwhelmed. It's like then you have even more energy in of all this stuff, you know,
right.
in your house. We really need to take time at Christmas time to, because it takes more stress and pressure. I was listening to you talk about your pie, you know, your pie, and I was thinking
mm-hmm.
about, you know, how people do that. They're happy, and they get to make something that makes people happy, and then somebody else might show up and say, oh, I really don't like pumpkin pie,
yeah.
and it might be Uncle Harry who never likes anything, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's literally, it's taking the time to remove things before we put things out, and then look at everything we put out, and if we don't like it, if it doesn't make us feel good, just put it away. You don't need to.
Right, just because it's something that you had since you were 12 doesn't mean
right.
you have to put it out every year at Christmas.
Yep, or keep it. So here's an example that people maybe can relate to. I was working on, there was a well-known author here in Seattle, another author, interestingly,
mm-hmm.
Here in Seattle, and she actually writes books on intuitive information for, you know, like the dummies books and things like that. And so she had me come in to clear energy. She was having difficulty in that business with finishing a book again. And so I'm in her her flat, and I'm working, and I walk in the bathroom, and I go to shut the door, and on the back of the door is this picture hung. So because I can see energy and feel it, I can see what's the matter with it, right? And so I say to her, so how do you feel about this picture? And she's like, oh, my mother painted it, and she's a well-known artist. And I said, so how do you feel about that picture? She said, well, it's really well done. And I said, how do you feel about your mother? And, of course, I knew all this because
mm-hmm.
I could see
right,
that because
could
I had
see,
that. But even
see.
If I didn't. And she said, oh, my mother and I haven't spoken in 10 years, you know. So every time she walked in the bathroom and shut the door, you know, she looked at this picture that reminded her of her mother and their difficulty. So that's what I'm talking about. So I'm like, and so she couldn't get, so what I got her to do was to remove it and put it in storage. She couldn't, like, just get rid of it because there was a value and all that kind of thing. But eventually I know that she did. So that's what I'm talking about when you're looking at your home and what's in it and your decorations,
yeah.
that picture. And she's an intuitive. She teaches people about this, and she was doing it, you know.
But there was she felt a responsibility.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Like,
she'd be in trouble if she
did, you know.
To keep
that.
Because the energy of her mother was.
Right, and people have that with a lot of things that have been passed down to them. They feel a responsibility to keep it.
Yep. I know. I mean, it's a challenge for people
yeah.
that way. That's why if they can just move it out, if they can say to themselves, you know what, I'm just going to put this out in storage or in the garage for now. I'm not going to get rid of it. You know, that's easier for them. And then after the energy is out, then that responsibility diminishes. It really does.
Oh, and see, I like that because that's true. So it's like giving the energy a chance to dissipate.
Right. And then you want to kind of clear it.
Yeah.
So one of the wonderful things about Christmas is lots of little lights. Lights are really great for energy in houses. Any kind of little lights that you can put anywhere, you know, will help brighten. And energy flows through houses, just like if you, just like water. If water was pouring through your house, energy flows like that. So there are lots of things about, feng shui, the traditional way to work with energy in houses and spaces that can be applied in times like this too. So
right. And I also like, Mary Lee, you and I have talked just briefly about feng shui, but we also talked about how sometimes you need to follow things based on your energy and how you interact with the energy of the house, not necessarily just follow the strict feng shui rules.
Right. And, you know, when all this came pouring into me, all my life I'd had this ability to, like, decorate and see what was right, you know. And I thought, well, I just must have this skill about that. So when this information was pouring in and all these abilities were coming in, I thought, gee, I probably should, like, buy a couple of feng shui books and read about this, maybe study this. And literally when I started to read, everything I did all was in alignment to that kind of information. And I thought, well, I don't need to, you know,
right, I've already been doing all that
intuitively. So what's interesting, though, is what I've learned is that when I work with people, their needs are more important. So somebody who loves to wake up in the morning, that's their, you know, and see the sunrise, and they're these morning people, they need to have their bedroom facing that way where they wake up to that sunshine.
Right.
And the same thing if they're an afternoon, evening person, and they want to aim that direction. So sometimes people try and compromise how they feel to what they think rules are, and rules are just guidelines. They're not, you know, it's more important to create what feels good to you. Your energy system, your intuition will tell you what feels right for you. It always does.
Yeah.
We just override it.
I think that's so true because, you know, I've taken a couple of feng shui classes and I know they've talked about how your bed must face and things like that. And I was thinking, because I love seeing the sun in the morning. I'm thinking, just like when you said that, I thought, yeah, that's me. I want to see the sun in the morning because that just, you know, that just perks me up. So it's wild how that works.
And so, and that builds your, you know, however you want to word it, it builds your energy system, you know, your joy comes from that. So those rules, you know, just they're like guidelines to use, but they're really not anything more than that. And there are different, you can get different feng shui books and they'll tell you different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know?
Different. Yeah. Because everybody has their own take on things. Now, Mary Lee, I want to take you back to a story that you were telling me during that break about clutter. Do you remember the first clutter story about the house? And then they ended up selling the house, and it was like three stories of things from the second hand. Yeah, tell everybody about that because, you know, we're big around here on yard sales.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you mean the author who was having difficulty?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people, I mean, that's, you know, that's a big thing, you know, and people think that's fun, and a lot of people end up collecting a lot of things secondhand.
Right. Well, so everything that you bring in has the energy of the person who made it and the energy of every person who had it. So think about if something's in somebody's house and they're kind of, you know, their life is awful and they don't feel good and it's just kind of, and it goes out to the yard sale and moves along and moves along. It accumulates the energy of all those people, even the person who made it. So as we accumulate those things in our house, they all take up space and everything takes our energy to actually have it. So this is kind of the tricky thing. It's like, you know what it's like when you walk into a hotel room and you don't have to worry about, you don't own it, you don't have to take care of it, and it kind of feels nice just to be there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
When you walk into your house, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, I have to worry about this and the gutters and the this and the that. Everything takes energy to take care of. So when you have a house filled with yard sale stuff, it literally does, it's like overwhelming almost. You can suffocate yourself with it. And what happens to people is they get used to how it feels, and then it doesn't feel good when it goes away.
Oh, that's an interesting thing. You get used to all that clutter, and then it feels wrong.
It's kind of scary at first for it to go away. So it's a major issue with people. Especially in our country now, and but it's easily resolvable. It honestly is. So So you need somebody first who can, like, clear the energy, right? But even if you can't do that, if you can go just take one room and work on one project at a time, and just if you can just move as much of out of that room as possible so that you can get used to the feeling of things being emptier. And once you get used to that feeling, you'll start to enjoy it. I mean, it'll progress. Literally, it will progress.
And there are things. Your technique, Mary Lee, is to take everything out and put things back one at a time, right?
So this is what I do with people when they, depending on the level of clutter that they have. But so if they're like regular clutter people, right?
They're so not over the top.
Right. Pull everything out of the room. So maybe leave your furniture or just the main pieces of furniture, right? I'll say, okay, what do you love here, right? And so maybe we'll keep a couch and a couple of chairs or whatever. We'll move everything out. And then it's like one thing. So then I say, pick the thing you love the most and put it back. And then they will. So it's like teaching people to realize what they really love and what they don't really love, because we get all mixed up with that. You know, it's like if you had to leave your house and you could only take one thing, what would it be? You know, if you could only take two things, it's like that. And gradually, as you get used to that, you start to realize what you don't love. And we just get so used to being responsible to everybody and everything that we don't realize what lifts us emotionally and what doesn't.
Yeah, because we have these things, and like we said earlier, you feel responsible for keeping them.
Oh, yeah,
you
know,
something
for
might
the
have
family.
Been, yeah, and something then, might have been given to you that you never really liked, but it was Aunt Alice's or, you know, whoever.
Or, I had 3 storage units from my mother, Jackie.
Oh, my goodness, Mary Lee.
3 huge ones, you know. And what was so interesting, so my mother kept and kept and kept. Same thing, I was raised that way, too. You know, like you don't get rid of it if there's a value to it, right?
Right.
You know, it's like that. And, you know, when I talked to my nephews and nieces and all the, nobody really wanted anything. They just didn't. It sort of gets stuck in our era, kind of, you know?
Think so, because we grew up with that with our parents. That's the way they handled things for what came down to them. And, I think you're right. We sort of get stuck with that.
And we feel like this is part of our family, therefore we couldn't give
it
out.
Right, absolutely.
And there's a thing about things, it's more important for things to be used, like in you know, there's so many people who need things, it's like you want to put them in motion. Once you get started with this, it really works, and it's liberating. It's just it's almost like somebody coming to help you clean out your closet. You know, like we all get clothes that we don't need, you know, and we don't get rid of them because we think we're going to lose some weight or whatever. You know, it's the same thing. It's like sometimes we need help in the beginning to do it, and then once you start to feel what it feels like, you'll love it, and it'll be easier for it to happen. But they're all different degrees of you know, from clutter to hoarding, and lots of it, a lot of places. So when people call me and want me to come to their homes, like maybe they're, people will call for things like their kids will be having nightmares, or they'll want to sell their house, or they bought a new house, or they think they have ghosts, or the house doesn't feel right, all these different reasons to call. And I'll find something very different when I get there, usually, than what they're calling
than what they
about.
Think, right, right. Mm-hmm. It goes a whole different direction.
Yeah.
Well, let's tell people, too, before we run out of time, I want to make sure people know that you are available for telephone consultations.
Yes, I do. I work in person. I'm in Seattle, as you know, so I'm across the country from you. But I also, because I can, because I'm a medium, I'm able to energetically go into the space that people need. So I can do it from wherever.
Okay. All right. And people can find you online at www.maryleemcroberts.com. That's Mary Lee, L-E-E, McRoberts, McRoberts.com. And do you have a telephone number, Mary Lee, you like to give out?
Absolutely, I do. It's 206-255-2500. And there's an email on my website. There's also a different phone number on my website for when you're in different parts of the country. So either that number, the number I just gave you, is fine. So they can locate me that way. And I'm also on Facebook as well. But I'm not a very good Facebooker. Person.
Yeah, I know, I know. We're Facebook strugglers.
I know.
So on Facebook, it would just be Facebook. It's just Mary Lee McRoberts, right?
Well, there's two, Mary Lee McRoberts, and then there's two. If you pull my name up, you'll see a personal page that's open to the public, and then you'll see a business page. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I love all this great
stuff
about Christmas, Mary Lee, because, you know, I think even just a simple thing like put some things away before you take things out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's such a simple thing people can do and see what a change that might make.
Yep. And they'll feel differently about things. So,
yeah.
And look at all the things you're putting out and think about who gave it to you and how you feel about that person. And if you don't feel good about that person, don't put it out.
Yeah, after all, it's Christmas, a time of joy.
That's right.
Okay, Mary Lee. Well, we're gonna close it up for today. This has
Great.
Just been so interesting. I just love all this good energy and that you brought with you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for inviting me to be on your show. I really appreciate it, and I love what you're doing out there, helping people the way you are, Jackie. So thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Mary Lee. All right. Very good.
Take care.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Hey, that was really fun with Mary Lee McRoberts. So all of you people like me who are clutter bugs, take a look at that and think about how you can make your home feel better. All right, so think about, you know, we've got lots of relatives and friends coming into our homes on the holidays, and we're going to be missing some of those that were dear to us that have passed on, so especially at times like Thanksgiving and Christmas. So if you'd ever want to reach out to some of those folks, you know how to find me. My number is 717-968-5289 with offices in Hanover and York. So looking forward to seeing you all next Tuesday on Heart to Heart.